From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Music is a big deal to humans. It soothes us, inspires us, sets us free to dance, to romance, to dream. Radiohead frontman and big musician Tom York says the way we pay for music now isn't working. Millions stream their music digitally from the cloud. The biggest streaming service, Spotify, pays pitiful returns, says York, to new artists. He's boycotting. There's an uproar. This hour on Point, music, money, and the way we pay or don't for creativity now. You can join us on air or online. Is the digital era good for music, for creativity, for you? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK, or join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at onpointradio. Joining me now from New York is Greg Sandoval, senior reporter at The Verge, a website covering tech, art, and culture. Greg, welcome to On Point. Great to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
And with me in the studio is Don Gorder, chair of the Music Business and Management Department at Berklee College of Music. Don, welcome to On Point.
Thanks. Great to be here.
So we've got Tom York right behind us here with Default from Atoms for Peace. The album is amok, and it is not on Spotify today, Greg. Why not?
Well, it's a startup band, right? I guess you could say it's a new band, and it features a lot of famous people like Tom York of Radiohead and Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers. And they say new bands are not being compensated correctly by Spotify. Spotify is a streaming music service, and it has become very popular in a short amount of time. People can access huge pools of music and for free, or they can pay for a paid subscription. But somehow, whatever money Spotify is making, it's not trickling back down to newer artists, according to Tom York.
New artists in particular. The idea was when Spotify and others like it came on the scene, this would be better than people just pirating their money. At least that's the way it was put forward. Here's a little tape, Greg, Don. This is from Sean Parker, co-founder of Napster. This was back in 2010. He's a board member at Spotify. He said the streaming service offers an alternative to piracy.
Somewhere between 4 trillion and 10 trillion songs are illegally downloaded every year, and we're looking at maybe 4 billion or so legal downloads per year, so orders of magnitude more illegal downloading. So what's really happening is people are learning about music through their friends, and then they're going to the piracy networks.
Going to the piracy networks back in the day. Tom York, been watching this for a long time, wondering about who gets paid what and how. Here he was talking in 2009 for the Irish TV program The 11th Hour, Radiohead's lead singer Tom York.
The record business has that same element to it, where once an artist is successful, they are dealt with in a different way, and all these mechanics come into play and stuff.
But until they're successful, I guess his point, Greg, is for new young artists, the streaming just isn't paying. Why not? What's the structure of Spotify that might be working for, you know, Kanye, but isn't working for most new artists, he says?
The problem with music industry as a whole right now is that if you have a name and a following that was established with the promotion department and marketing departments of the big labels, then you have an audience. It's already built in. People go on to Spotify and they click on your songs, and you're getting paid lots and lots of, you know, it's fraction of pennies that it's getting back to the artist. But over time, it adds up. When you're new and you might be unrecognized by much of the public, then it's really hard to get that amount of spins to get people to click on you because they don't know you. And it's going to be like that for a while. Here at the core problem is this. For 10 years, people have gotten music for free off of these piracy networks. Mm-hmm. And the labels have shrunk and shrunk and shrunk. And they're not investing in promoting any old small artists, up-and-coming artists. They're being very particular. And that means there's a lot of young, talented artists that are having trouble getting seen and getting paid.
And Tom York empathizing with them and now saying, all right, he's not taking all of Radiohead down. He doesn't control a lot of that. His label does. It's still up. But the piece that he does, he's taking down. I mean, Don Gorder, here we are with this amazing digital wave, and it's come to all kinds of realms of creative activity, including music. And the first impact of it was kind of turned the whole boat upside down. Napster, it was free, it was pirated, and the whole thing just fell apart. Does Tom York's boycotting of Spotify here mean that we still, after all these years, haven't found the formula that works to both, you know, support those who have made it and nurture those who might or will?
I think that's exactly what it means. He's making a statement here. As Greg is saying, Spotify, their business is streaming music to their subscribers, and there's also a free service. But it takes millions and millions of streams to generate the kind of income that artists were getting, from the old method of selling physical copies. So, you know, the digital
vinyl,
revolution.
The CDs.
Exactly.
The digital download, where it wasn't physical, but you owned on your computer that digital copy. Not
right.
So with Spotify.
That's right. And, of course, the other thing that the digital world has changed is that it's a world of singles now, you know, where it used to be you had to go down to the store and pay $18 for the CD that had the one song on it that you really wanted.
Right.
And
right.
Now it's a buck, you know, I mean, for a download. But, you know, the numbers, when you get back to streaming, the estimates are that it takes about 150 streams to equal the payout of one download, you know. So, I mean, it's just, it's...
That is 150 people streaming your song to equal
right.
one who actually buys by download.
That's right.
Greg, remind us of how Spotify works. It's free unless what do people pay for it?
No, it's free. It's ad-supported. Mm-hmm. You get online, you give them some of your information, and you can start listening to music almost immediately. But to get the songs on your mobile device, on your cell phone, you have to pay a subscription fee. And you also get a higher quality song. And this is the thing that people in the music industry is hoping will happen, that they can offer some extras that the consumer will pay extra for. And it remains to be seen whether this is a strategy that will help Spotify become profitable, because the big question everybody's waiting to see is which one of these business models is actually going to be able to generate profits. Mm-hmm. They're not going to stick around if they can't make money. And if without profits, it's unlikely that the artist is going to make a lot of money either.
So Tom York is saying it's peanuts. And we're talking here, Greg, like fractions of a penny per listen in many cases. And it's just not enough. But he doesn't say a lot, but he tweeted as part of this that Spotify is going to make out like gangbusters, that they'll eventually, I don't know, go public or sell or, you know, that. And the labels are invested in it, and they've got their own crew, of course, who's in it. They're going to end up making a ton of money, but new artists will not. He says simples was his way of looking at it. Simples and not just. What do you say to that, Greg?
I'd say he's right to be a little skeptical, a little, you know, he's been in the music business a long time now. So he's seen a lot of things occur where events occur where the artist kind of doesn't get cut in on what's happening. The labels have a long time reputation of not taking care of artists going back, you know, the century, certainly in the Motown era. And you hear all these stories of artists not getting their cut. So I think he's wise. I think he has to understand that this is evolving. I think he has to understand that the days of, you know, huge margins on CD sales where, you know, people would pay $15 for a disc to get one or two songs, those big paydays are over. And I think he's right to look and fight for artists' rights, because it's a land grab right now with so much indecision, so much not settled yet. Yeah, it's good that someone is looking out for the artist to make sure that they get cut in on whatever, you know, successful models we can find.
Don, you've been watching this business for a long time. I mean, part of the idea here was new groups would get exposure, and that exposure would bring them a life-sustaining cash somehow. Is that working out, or is it exposure but no money?
I think it comes down to the band itself. You know, the band has to make its own connection with its fans. There are some independent bands, mm-hmm. not with the major labels, who have managed to do that. You know, they have attained a fan base who supports them and will buy their music. But, you know, it's not a universal thing. It's a struggle, you know, for the bands that are trying to do it on their own to attain that kind of a fan base, you know, that will support them and buy their music. And that's why that the recorded music has become actually a minor part of their overall income. You know, it's just much less important than it used to be.
But you got to be a much harder working band to be out on the road making it for concerts all the time, and not everybody makes it there. It's kind of ironic that this information ocean that a lot of people thought would, you know, be the salvation of creatives, whether you look at authors or the news business or musicians, not so clear right now if it's the salvation done.
No, but we've seen the advent of crowdfunding, you know, and there are a few bands that have been very successful with that. And, you know, those are typically the bands that
Kickstarter
have,
and all the rest. Come on, right. Support me. I want to do a new album, and
exactly.
In it comes.
Right. So they support, their fans support them out of allegiance, you know, and that's how they can perhaps become in this, what they call the musical middle class that's beginning to evolve, where they don't need the support of a major label and all of the other support mechanisms that existed once and still exist, but have become less important.
Might work, but not in the way that it worked for Thom Yorke in the early days of Radiohead. That, where you're all of a sudden wearing gold chains and furs and have the limo, for many people, that's gone. We're talking this hour about the new ruckus over how artists, musicians, get paid in the digital era. Don Gorder's with us from Berklee College of Music, Greg Sandoval from The Verge. You can join us. If we want new music, diverse music, how are we going to pay for it? 800-423-8255 is our number. I'm Thom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. Thom Ashbrook, this is On Point. We're talking this hour about the new ruckus over how artists, musicians get paid in the digital era. Thom Yorke of Radiohead is saying enough to Spotify, he's boycotting. How will we pay for creativity in our digital days? Greg Sandoval joins us from The Verge in New York. Don Gorder is here from Berklee College of Music. You can join us. If we want new music, how are we going to pay for it? Is Spotify enough? 0.04 cents per play or something like that? Does the digital era mean starving young artists? Up-and-coming musicians? What's your story? Is it working for you? 800-423-8255 is our number. 800-423. Talk behind us right here. Lonely Boy by the Black Keys. Another group that doesn't like the way things are going, saying no thanks to Spotify. Of course, some much bigger groups still did that for a while. Pink Floyd did, now they're on. Adele did, now she's on. Coldplay did, now she's on. Greg Sandoval, many people are saying Thom Yorke's boycott here with just part of his body of work is kind of whistling in the wind. It is not going to turn back this tide, Greg.
Oh, no, I don't agree it will, but I admire that he's standing up for it on behalf of, you know, emerging artists. The public, though, however, sees it, and, you know, they know Radiohead is a very successful band, so they see Thom as being a spoiled artist, right? That's how you argue or say that his side is coming from a guy who makes a ton of money already, who's banked millions, and is just trying to hold on to his stake.
Hold on to his stake? How so? Isn't he trying to open the door with a little cash attached for a new generation?
Well, no, this is affecting, you know, the problem that he's talking about just isn't for young artists or up-and-coming artists.
Okay.
It's affecting everyone. The big paydays, you know, you brought it up yourself about, you know, the days when we saw rock stars living in palatial mansions and driving big cars. That day is coming to an end. There's just not as much money in the music industry, and I don't care how big you are. There's just not as much money in CD sales or even download sales. We haven't figured out a way to generate the same kind of cash. That's affecting everybody.
So, Don, what does that mean? I mean, how do you've got Berklee College of Music? You got young people looking out at this world, young enough that on the 10 years of this digital new digital dynamic that Greg describes, they may have never known it any other way. Do they still have that image in mind of, you know, young band hits it big, gets rich in a hurry, or is that history?
Well, I'm sure that there are those who still think that that is in sight for them. You know, I mean, if you can score the big deal with a major label and become a superstar. But I think Greg is right that those days are dwindling, you know, when we're going to see that. I think most young musicians realize now that they have to become a lot more entrepreneurial about mm-hmm. their careers. You know, they have to be broad-based and they're skill-based and know how to work their music in the live business and you know, the licensing sources that are out there now, getting their music placed and
T-shirts and you name
it. Well, and merchandise, of course, and getting their music into games and TV and film and all of that. And branding partnerships, advertising campaigns, you know, those are the kinds of things now that I think the musicians, today's musicians that are just starting their careers and setting out, you know, toward their goals of success are realizing, you know.
Do they want to do all that stuff? It sounds like they really have to be businessmen and women almost first. Not first, but very close behind.
Well, that's true, yes. And I hear that from many musicians. You have to, you know, you're expected to do all of that. But what they really want to do, of course, is make music.
Be the poet.
Yes.
Be the musician.
Yeah. So I think maybe what this is bringing about is the advent of the new kind of manager, you know, somebody who works with these bands.
Yeah.
And understands how to do that, you know, how to work their social media, how to get them everywhere. Their music is ubiquitous, and they're gathering the income from all of those sources.
It's interesting who's not going with this. Our own theme song here at On Point is played by Fortet. They're also saying no thanks to Spotify. Here's a little bit of Fortet with Pinnacles. Quartet there, the band name for musician Kieran Hebden, says no thanks. Let's hear from our listeners. Mark in Providence, Rhode Island. Hi, Mark. Thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. I appreciate everything. I especially appreciate the subject. I had Spotify early in the U.S., and I was aware that labels like Center Media and Metal Blade were boycotting it for what they did in Europe, and they do definitely pay people very low. Do we know, I guess my first question is, do we know how much they make as compared to the 0.04 cents?
Yeah.
And also just that, I mean, I mainly listen to bands that maybe sell 1,000 or 5,000 copies of a record, yes, a 45 or 7-inch still, and they need to tour 10 months a year. They need to sell a bunch of merch. I don't know, you know, like you said, the other speaker said, maybe bands need to do that and hire a manager and do that. But I think it really relies on the mindset of the customer. The problem is I listen to Spotify because I love albums and I like making my own mixes. And that's why it's better than Pandora or some of the other things. But I still go buy those albums, and I still try to give credit to the people. I spend a lot of money on CDs and a lot on vinyl and on MP3s because I still try to support the people. But I don't.
But that makes you kind of a rare cat these days, Mark.
I believe so, but you have to feel a part of the band's subculture. You have to feel part of the scene, and that you are giving because these are people like you that just happen to grab an instrument and do it. And I also sense the bitterness towards someone like Tom York. Like, again, are you really complaining that you don't have enough money? But as someone that invests in art, I mean, I also give to NPR, so I'm probably a rare commodity. But, you know, Tom York, he made it. He deserves to get paid for it.
Yeah, I mean, I want to be fair to Tom York. He's really complaining on behalf of new artists here. That's his explicit complaint and kind of boycotting on their behalf. Love Tom York. And, you know, ever since, of course, he played On Point on the Colbert Report, we're especially fond of him. But he's trying to stand up for the little guy. Mark, I appreciate your call. I mean, we got so much response here online. You know, Dave says to us, Don, Greg, he says, streaming music is not going away and is getting more and more popular. Boycotting Spotify would be like boycotting air. Greg, it does kind of feel that way. I mean, it is huge. What about Mark's question about what they get paid? Who does get the money? How's it break out compared to the old big label days?
Well, we don't know. They haven't released those numbers, but we do know that they're not profitable. And I think a couple of years ago, someone leaked online some of the returns that they've seen, and they weren't very impressive. I mean, the explanation is that they're a new company. They're just getting going. It's brand new. They have to educate the audience. They have to educate consumers about how it works and that, you know, it has a value proposition. It has something to offer. So it's not going to be easy, and it's not going to be overnight. And they've been saying that for a long time.
Mm. Don?
The other part is that we don't know is what does Spotify pay the labels? You know, they have to license the catalogs from the labels
right.
to put it on their service.
Right.
We know what the artists get because they come out and tell us what they're getting. But typically the artists are getting paid by the label, you know, unless they hold the rights in their
yeah.
music themselves. So it's the label paying the artists. We don't know how much of a cut of that the label is keeping for themselves. Maybe Greg can elaborate on that.
Or what the label stake in Spotify is. I mean,
exactly.
The word on the street is that a bunch of the labels have been given equity in Spotify. So if it goes big, goes, you know, white hot, they'll profit with it.
Correct. And they also get a portion of the advertising revenue.
Wow. It's a complicated picture, but it's all under the covers. Paul in Nashville, Tennessee, Music Country. Paul, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
And thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I wanted to say first about Tom York seemingly advocating not using Spotify on behalf of new artists. That strikes me as a bit of an altruistic red herring. I really don't think that it makes sense for new artists to not be on Spotify because that's the only way they're going to get heard. That's the only way they're going to be able to begin to build an audience. So I don't think he's doing new artists any favors in that regard. But what he is doing is he's trying to kind of protect an industrial paradigm, which is no more valid today than a carriage was in the age of automobiles. He's still trying to basically sell buggy whips, and we're not buying buggy whips anymore. I'd like to suggest that if somebody wants to launch a crusade about how compensation is provided in the music industry, that they take a look at how broadcast radio, admittedly itself a fading paradigm, pays no royalties for the use of recordings. There's been an exercise, a move in Congress to try to balance that. Spotify and Pandora, the streaming services, they all have to pay for the use of the recordings, and broadcast radio does not. That's a greater inequity than whether or not the payouts from Spotify are nominal to new or established.
Yeah, artists. Yeah. The old it hurts when you talk about the fading paradigm as we broadcast right here. But I know exactly what you mean, and I think Greg, Pandora has actually been looking to Congress to knock down what it's required to pay, kind of along that same argument that Paul's making from Nashville.
Yes, and they haven't seen a lot of sympathy on the Hill in D.C. For this cause because the artists and the labels are fighting them tooth and nail. They don't want the royalties from online radio to be reduced. But it is. People are pointing, and I was at the hearing that Pandora was part of late last year where some of the congressmen, the lawmakers, looked around to the broadcast radio representatives and they said, why don't you guys pay? Why don't you have
yeah,
to pay?
Right.
And that has been the focus of the radio industry or the music industry's efforts is to get broadcast radio to pay. They do pay some. Like they'll pay, I think it works, the songwriter. So Bob Dylan will get paid for his song Blowing in the Wind. But if someone covers it, the whoever covers it doesn't get paid. The band that covers it doesn't get paid. So it's not equitable. Certainly when Pandora has to pay both, they have to make that changes. That's their intent.
Mm-hmm. But what are we going to pay for creativity in this digital age? We're going to hear in just a second here from Aaron McKeown, musician, writer, producer, somebody who's directly affected by all this and thought a lot about it. Here's her histories from her latest album, Manifestra. Aaron McKeown there with histories from her latest album, Manifestra. She tours with Annie DeFranco, Josh Ritter, the Indigo Girls, Andrew Bird. Joins us right now from Amherst, Massachusetts. Aaron, thanks very much for being with us.
Hi, Tom. Glad to be here.
So everybody's buzzing about Tom York and his, you know, little boycott. I don't know how much impact it will have. Is he on to something? Is there a problem for an independent artist like yourself in the Spotify age?
Yes, I mean, there absolutely is a problem with Spotify in the digital age. But I want to first say that this is not an issue for just new artists. This is an issue for all artists, as one of your guests mentioned earlier. And also, you know, what we're looking at is the gutting of the middle of the music industry by such things as Spotify. But for an artist like me who's been, you know, not a new artist, I have 10 albums. I've been doing this for 15 years. I've had a lot of amazing opportunities in the music business. Spotify isn't going to work for me, but Spotify isn't going to go away. So I think your real question is, what do artists do? And I certainly have come up with a couple of things that, that can happen. I mean, first of all, from Spotify, right? So I'm not a white male rock god. It's not going to make any difference if I boycott Spotify. However, if a bunch of artists like me get together and talk, we can ask Spotify to do some things. And there are three things that I would like Spotify to do.
Oh, good. Let's hear it.
That will help solve this problem.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing, your guest also mentioned this earlier, is a transparency of rates. So I can triangulate my rate and figure out that I get paid, you know, 0.004 parts of a dollar.
0.004. I left out a whole point there. Okay.
Let me make it more simple for you.
Yeah.
You hand me a penny and you cut that penny in half.
Yeah.
That's my rate for one play on Spotify, which is a half a penny and completely useless. That is not the same rate as someone who's on a major label gets paid, as your guest also mentioned.
Okay.
Transparency, consistency. All artists should be paid the same. The second thing I'd like to see Spotify do is, if I'm going to get a half a penny for having a play on their service, then I should get something in return for that as an artist. You should tell me who is it that's listening to my music. You should tell me where they are.
That's interesting.
Allow me to have access to them.
And so you can build a community, build a following maybe at least.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the last thing I'd like from Spotify is to see some sort of encouragement of that connection. So someone likes my music on Spotify, one click to my website or one click to a digital store if somebody wants to do more, one click to my tour dates. I'd be more interested in a rate that is minuscule if I was getting something in return. Spotify is ultimately a music discovery service, and the second part of discovery is connecting music to fans and musicians to fans.
Do you feel like you're doing less well in the position that you occupy, Aaron, in the music world today than somebody else, you know, in a comparable position would have 20 years ago?
Well, my first record came out in 1999, and I signed a three-record deal with a small label that had major label distribution, and I got large advances, and I got a big promotional budget. So, like, I lived in that world.
Living the dream. Living the dream.
I lived somewhat of the dream. But I still live the dream because I don't do any better or any worse now than I did then. What's different for me is the relationship I have with the people that like my music. And this is where I think this is the other piece of what musicians can do now in this digital world that you mentioned with crowdfunding. I don't think that the advent of, like, digital music and the internet, it kills the music industry. I think it only amplifies, in general, I think the internet only amplifies trends and relationships. So for me, while the internet gives me, you know, a penny cut in half, it also allows me direct access to the people that like my music. So I do just as well now because I have a relationship with a core group of people who have liked my music for a long time. And when a new person likes my music, they can go to my website and find a bunch of different ways that I've given to them to interact with, to meet me, to do things with me. And that relationship is ultimately more sustainable than somebody clicking once on Spotify.
Aaron McKeown, we hear your three points. We hope Spotify hears them too. We're really grateful to you for being with us. The latest album is Manifestra. Aaron, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Tom.
Pink Floyd said no to Spotify until they didn't. Now they're there. What do you think? Are we willing to pay for creativity anymore? How should we pay for music? 800-423-8255 is our number. 800-423-TALK. This is On Point. We'll be right back.
Just two lost souls swimming in a fishbowl. Here I am. wish you were here.
Holy Grail. Blue told me remind you. I'm that y'all talking about. I'm the new.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the new ruckus over how artists, musicians get paid in the digital era. Tom York of Radiohead is saying enough to Spotify. He's boycotting. Not everybody is. There's Jay-Z with Holy Grail off his huge monster new album Magna Carta. 14 million streams in 1 week as it came out. I guess Jay-Z is doing all right. Justin Timberlake. Featured on there as well. You can join our conversation this hour. What do you think? Are we losing the habit of paying for creativity? Was the old way of paying so great? Record albums, vinyl, CDs, recording studios grabbing the money? And how do we make the digital era nurture musicians, new talent? Will it just be superstars and street musicians? 800-423-8255 is our number. 800-423-TALK. From music to news to books, will the internet pay creators? 800-423-TALK. Greg Sandoval is with us from The Verge in New York. Don Gorder is with me in the studio from the Berklee College of Music. With us right now from Washington, D.C. is Casey Ray, Deputy Director of the Future of Music Coalition. It's a nonprofit dedicated to education, research, advocacy for musicians. Casey, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Tom.
Do we have a giant problem here? Is Tom York onto something, or is this trending toward the interests of creativity and musicians over time?
I bet if you ask Tom, he probably doesn't hate Spotify. It's incredibly easy to like it. You've got access to seemingly infinite catalogs of music. You can listen to your stuff across all devices and sync your playlists. And lots of musicians probably enjoy being included on a platform that makes discovery so easy and listening so seamless. But chances are, unless you're on a major label that controls a ton of copyrights, all of that awesomeness isn't even going to buy you a latte. So, you know, it's early stages. This is part of the new digital marketplace. It's obviously not yet mature. So there's a possibility that as these services grow, the payouts might improve. I think the question that Tom and others are asking right now is, who gets paid and how? And Spotify gets a lot of blame, but it might not really be their fault per se. The way the streaming on-demand platforms are currently set up seem to reward the major labels, who are also part owners of Spotify, and they get massive prepayments for the use of their catalog. Mm-hmm. A lot of the independent musicians are wondering how that math would ever work out for the smaller artists. You know, in the old days, and I'm talking about 2006, an indie artist or a label could sell a certain amount of CDs or even downloads, and they'd be able to count on a return on their investment. That's not yet the case with the streaming model. What it comes down to at the end of the day really is leverage. And as much as artists might appreciate Spotify as a service, they've got practically no say in the economics. And artists are always told to be patient. Everything's going to sort itself out.
Yeah.
But if this doesn't work, what's next?
It is interesting. Even Radiohead's co-manager, this is Brian Message, kind of friendly, as his big star Tom York is saying no thanks with part of his work. Brian Message told the BBC NewsHour yesterday, well, this is just the way things are going. Here's Radiohead co-manager Brian Message.
Technology is here to stay. Evolution and of technology is always going to go on. You know, it's up to us, up to me as a manager, to work with the likes of Spotify and other streaming services.
Kind of playing it both ways there. But we have heard artists say that even beyond the revenue, there's something intangible. Well, judge for yourself. Here's Gabriel Kahane, singer, composer, telling NPR, this was a year and a half ago or so, that there's not only a monetary loss, but here's a musician saying there's a spiritual loss when it comes to services like Spotify. Gabriel Kahane.
I perceive this kind of decline in the spiritual value of music, where there is so much of it at our fingertips that we don't really listen to any of it with any kind of real attention, and we don't take the record home that maybe on first listen didn't really catch our ear, but since we bought it, maybe we should listen to it a second time and then a third time, and then all of a sudden we find that there's something of value there. And that's something that I think happens less and less with services like Spotify.
Don Gorder, can you relate to what Gabriel's saying there, Gabriel Kahane, a spiritual loss of spiritual value when it's so easy to have, or is that just Buggy Whip talking.
No, I think he has a point there, that musicians are perhaps feeling a bit of that, you know, a little disenfranchised from the whole system. But I'm also going to go back to what Aaron was saying, that the good part of the digital revolution now is that musicians have all of these new opportunities through the technology to develop their fan base, you know, and to bring them in and to establish that connection and that community for mm-hmm. their music, which maybe will lift their spirits, you know, in some mm-hmm. way. I mm-hmm. mean, if they're able to do that, that's the good part of it all.
They're not just consumers in a way anymore. They're it's a community or you're in trouble.
Absolutely. They're followers. They're loyal. And we're able to do that now in a way that under the old business we could not. Mm. And going along with that, I think we have to get back to the reality that this business of streaming music in these services, it's very nascent, you know. I mean, it's just developing. And I think maybe we need to be a little bit patient with it. I understand the payments are minuscule, you know, and I see the outcry for that. And I understand why Tom would be trying to get up on the pulpit and make his outcry about that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, he probably understands that there is a certain promotional value to it as well, you know, and you kind of have to offset the objections to it with that.
Hard to be patient if you're hungry.
Exactly.
Mark in Richland Center, Wisconsin. Mark, thanks for calling. You're on the air. What do you think?
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Don't we have a bit of a schizophrenia going on here? We're trying to get out of the feudal age, and yet we use these terminologies and we expect these things called royalties to pay out to the artist community that holds themselves up. Apparently, if it's a spiritual thing, maybe they think they're gods, but the plumber doesn't get paid every time the water comes on successfully. The electrician didn't get a royalty every time the light switch worked. What is it with this group of people who now claim that they're getting screwed by their handlers, but they hold themselves in general to be royalty themselves? Are we ever going to get out of the feudal age where just somebody has to go to work every day?
Wow. Okay, that puts it in really big terms, Mark. I appreciate your call. Casey Ray, what do you say? Too much for the artist to ask for a royalty, or too feudal? The plumber doesn't get paid every time you turn on the faucet.
Musicians work every day. I don't know if anybody who wants to challenge the assumption that artists are lazy is more than welcome to try to eke out a career as an artist. I just want to underscore the basic idea that Tom York and Nigel Godrich, Brian Message, these people aren't Luddites. They try new things. They adjust accordingly. And so, you know, the picture might still change for streaming services. There's a lot of buzz right now about a company called Beats Electronics that makes the headphones, working with a guy named Ian Rogers from Topspin Media to relaunch a streaming site called Mog, which is a Spotify competitor, with some artist-friendly bells and whistles that will hopefully help, you know, musicians sell stuff on top of just that low-paying stream, like merchandise and limited edition vinyl or concert tickets.
Yeah.
So there's probably not one answer to this problem, just like there was never one business model in the music industry, even in the old days. It's just now that there are tons more questions. Artists aren't a monolithic group. Some of them, different stages in their career, might feel totally awesome about giving away their music for free or being on these big all-you-can-eat services. You know, others might have a different value proposition, and the debate is healthy.
Reverend Jay in Independence, Iowa. Reverend Jay, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
Right. 3 or 4 years ago, I was in Iowa's best punk band, Dylan Shiv and the Shanks.
Okay.
And we rocked it on MySpace, and we gave away everything we could record for free, because the internet is just a platform to get people to find you, and then new bands just have to realize they're only going to make money playing live. You can sell all the CDs at your shows. The internet is just a platform for people to find you. I mean, you're not going to get paid. The days of the big music industry, big deal, that's over. Over.
And is that okay? I mean, what if people are out there listening to your music? Mark in Wisconsin says, you know, forget about it. It's medieval. It's feudal to think you should be paid every time. But wouldn't you like to as a musician, Reverend Jay?
Sure, but the only way you're actually going to make money is by doing live work. People, you're going to get your gate money. People, then people are going to buy your T-shirts. They're going to buy your CDs. I mean, you have to just use the internet as the platform for people to find you, and then they'll come see you, and then they'll build you build a community that way. And that's the only way it's going to work now for small new bands.
Yeah, do the live work.
If I may, Tom,
and get the exposure. Is that Casey?
Yeah, if I may, you know, songwriters don't sell T-shirts, and Lord knows there's a lot of artists from Brian Wilson to Andy Partridge from XTC to even like a major chunk of the, you know, Beatles catalog where the musicians didn't make money from playing live. What we're asking right now about cultural production is really what's the return on investment? Where's the investment coming from? How can we sustain careers in creative expression, in journalism, for example? And mm-hmm. these are big, hairy issues that are still getting sorted out. What is most important is to figure out ways to allow the broader class of creators to be equitably compensated for their work, wherever that work occurs. And if a business model doesn't seem to be, you know, fully cooked yet, then we have every right to ask some questions.
But maybe it never will be fully cooked to the liking of people who want those royalties. I mean, our caller in Wisconsin sort of pictures music as like water from the faucet and thinks, you know, it's old-fashioned. Maybe there's something in the digital technology itself, Greg Sandoval in New York, jump in here, that just doesn't lean toward paying people for creative work, that, you know, wants it to be free, as the phrase went.
Well, they've had it free. It's been a decade of free. They're used to not paying for music. Now we're trying to get them to pay, and these are baby steps. Spotify and Pandora, these mm-hmm. are steps to get people used to paying for music. If not out of their pocket, it's not painful to pay a monthly bill for Spotify or RDO tucked in your phone bill. Mm-hmm. They're starting to do more of that. But they definitely are dealing with an audience that doesn't see a lot of value in an individual song. And that's what the music industry is wrestling with.
Don, you're young musicians at Berklee College. Maybe they don't even have that image in their head of, you know, the young Rolling Stones, Mick Jagger, and all the rest living large. Maybe that's not what they expect anymore. Maybe they're not looking at music in the way of the heyday of vinyl, certainly.
Yes, I think that's true. They've accepted this new reality that it's we're not going to see the continuation of this superstar era. You know, there may be a few over time. Mm-hmm. And that's probably the reason that major labels will stay in existence is because they will be the ones who can build the superstars. You know, but we're going to see much more of this developing middle class. I don't really like that term so much, but I think it is
of
developing.
Musicians.
Exactly, yes.
Who never go big, who'll be happy if they can make just a steady living.
That's right.
Do we end up with more or less creativity in that kind of world, on balance?
Oh, I think there has to be continued creativity, because if they're going to establish their community, you know, this generation is looking for great new music. You know, I mean,
sure. Every generation needs it to
exactly.
sort of make sense of their times.
Yes, and there's more music available, but there's also more hunger for music, you know, than ever now. And so I think that's the good part, again, you know. And but I think these services like Spotify, I think there is a future for them if they can build scale. If they're going to build scale, though, they have to listen to musicians like Aaron, to say it's about the user experience, and it's about what the musicians can get from these services to advance their careers.
Hey, Greg, what did you think of Aaron's list of things she'd like from Spotify there? You know, more transparency about who's listening. Tell me who they are. Help me even get in touch with them. Is Spotify ever going to give up the keys to that kingdom to little, people all over the world making their music?
Well, I think she's got to understand that, you know, Spotify does direct deals with the labels, and if an artist is independent, they do direct deals. In other words, it's hard for them. It wants to make a profit, so it's going to try to get the best deal it can as far as that is concerned. But for all the other things that she asked for, I mm-hmm. think they're very reasonable. I think Spotify right now has had trouble convincing some artists of its model and that it's paying fairly. So why not offer extras? That makes sense. I bet we see some of that in the future.
Casey, are the big names making big money from Spotify? When Jay-Z comes out with Magna Carta, 14 million streams in a week. Does that amount to money, or is even that kind of a billboard for his eventual concerts?
Well, to be clear, Jay-Z is pretty expert at making money from a lot of different avenues.
But
I'm
I mean
sure
Spotify,
streaming. That up, but But, you know, it depends on his deal with his label. And the interesting thing is, when you look at a service like Spotify and who the investors in Spotify are, you've got major labels and you've got Goldman Sachs, and you've got a lot of folks who have figured out how to extract maximum value from this new distribution platform. What a lot of the independents are asking is, show me a system that works for my scale. You know, like the average independent artist isn't going to be able to sell enough or stream enough music to ever have that amount to a meaningful revenue stream under the current system. And so we got to ask questions like, what else would help? And so it's great when Aaron brings up, like, you know, this would be really valuable for me as a working musician. And I do think that the services will start to provide some value there, and hopefully we end up in a place where I agree with Greg, where the consumers or the fans are encouraged to look at music as having some kind of value again, whether it be a purely transactional value or some other kind of value. It's a respect for the art. You know, obviously art and commerce have always existed in tension, but it gets troublesome when creative expression is devalued to the point where the only people left who can afford to pursue that vocation are privileged or maybe, you know, kind of soft in the head.
You know, a lot of people respect Thom Yorke with Radiohead. When he comes out and says it's not good, it's not fair, it's not right, what about, in your view, Casey, ordinary listeners, millions of them are using Spotify now, 24, 25 million, something like that. Should, you know, everybody knew Napster was that nobody was getting paid, but with Spotify, should they feel okay about using Spotify? Is it a fair deal that they're, in their use of Spotify, giving to the musicians that they're enjoying, Casey?
That's a really great question. You know, we might need a, you know how the fair trade movement happened with food, and then you have the organic food movement. It would be really interesting to see if fans naturally gravitated to supporting artists through alternative structures. That's almost what was happening with the independent music sector back in the CD era, although, you know, in a scarcity environment, you were always competing with shelf space and access to the radio airwaves and so on and so forth. But you do have alternatives in this space. I mean, you could check something out on Spotify and then go buy it from the band directly from their website or download stuff from Bandcamp. And I think that a lot of those, ways to pay, you know, to show patronage to an artist are healthy. You've got crowdfunding things, but there doesn't seem to be one silver bullet solution to every single situation that artists face in this market.
Big question marks everywhere. There are creatives these days about compensation. Casey Ray at the Future of Music Coalition in Washington. Thank you very much for joining us today, Casey.
My pleasure.
Greg Sandoval at The Verge in New York. You're terrific, Greg. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And Don Gorder, Chair of the Music Business Management Department at the Berklee College of Music. Thank you, Don.
Happy to be here. Thanks.
We'll go out on something you might know. Everything Is All Right by Fourtet, a.k.a. Kieran Hebden, an artist who joined in questioning Spotify recently. Of course, it's our theme at On Point. He tweeted, "I had everything on my label taken off Spotify. Don't want to be part of this." Okay. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.